Let those who seek for the Lord acclaim him, and may they be glad in heart forever. Let us pray. Almighty and most merciful Father, we thank thee for the beauty of this day, for the truth which makes us free, and for thy love which never disappears. Enable us by thy Spirit to discern the complexities of the issues confronting us, to use our minds in the ministry to which thou hast called us, and to walk humbly with thee. In these moments, we pray for peace on earth, through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Yesterday afternoon and last night, we had a conference of program leaders of the Southern Baptist Convention with members of the faculty of our school. It is our very great pleasure to have several of these program leaders with us on campus, in classes, and in chapel today. Dr. House and Dr. Thomason had to leave last night. They wanted to be here. There are moments in which each one of us would like to say many things about those whom we present, and we should like to hear them say many things to our minds and to our hearts. We have time only to present these friends. The Reverend George Uding is Assistant Secretary Treasurer of the Brotherhood Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention and will be speaking to us in a few moments. Miss Betty Jo Corum is Director of Educational Services of the Women's Missionary Union. Dr. Hines Sims is Secretary of the Department of Church Music at Nashville. Dr. Philip Harris is Secretary of the Training Union Department. Dr. A.V. Washburn is Secretary of the Sunday School Department. Mr. Howard Foshi is Secretary of the Department of Church Administration. These competent and dedicated friends are exploring new ways to make the work in our churches more effective in our time. We are very grateful for their leadership, which is indeed a leadership in terms of Christian service. Now it is my privilege to present a member of the team who is to speak to us in these moments of worship. The Reverend George Uding is a native of Richmond, Virginia, a graduate of the University of Richmond and of the Southwestern Baptist Theological Seminary. He has served with distinction as a pastor in Norfolk, Virginia. He was the first Brotherhood Secretary in the state of Virginia. He is now as I indicated a moment ago, Assistant Secretary Treasurer of the Brotherhood Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention. It is a joy to welcome him and to present him to you.
Thank you, Dr. Binkley, and faculty members, and friends, and Rabbi Scoggin. It is a distinct pleasure for us to be here and to share in the fellowship of this seminary. We have certainly been cordially received. The invitation to come was certainly gracious, and then when we got here, to have such a wonderful reception has pleased us no end. It is a matter of building a bridge between where we are and where you are that we might work together. It so happens that Miss Corum and I are from different cities. She is from Birmingham and I am from Memphis. We're different from cities from the other members of this group who are from Nashville. I think I ought to say a good word for Nashville. All the good sounds come out of Nashville. And just recently, there's a new song hit that came from Nashville that will soon be in Wake Forest. The title of the song is "She Broke My Heart at Walgreens and I Cried All the Way to Sears." I hope you won't think I'm presumptuous standing here with my colleagues behind me, but they decided that I ought to be the one to attempt this message today. I don't know if it was a compliment or a punishment. But we are a team. We do love each other. We work together. We pray together. We stay together. And this is just a part of the team. I do feel presumptuous, however, because I heard a story the other day of a man who had succeeded in crossing a skunk and a computer and came up with a stinking know-it-all. Seriously now, I would like to speak to you on the theme that perhaps we're doing God's work in the wrong places, and we have the wrong people doing the work. The verses I would like to call to your mind are the verses in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, wherein Paul said, "And he gave some," which refers to the word gifts, in verse 7, "and he gave some gifts to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints," or the equipping of the children of God for service, or for the working or work of the ministry. Now, don't think you'd have any problem with the gifts, wherein it says, "And he gave some gifts to people that they might be apostles." No question about who the apostles were, or the prophets, perhaps. We probably don't have the apostles with us today, but we do have prophets. And I perceive that every one of you is a prophet. You speak prophetically. Not perhaps as did Amos, but you speak prophetically Sunday after Sunday. And some to be evangelists. We have evangelists with us today. Then Paul said, "And some pastors," and he did not use the word "some" again. He said, "And some pastors and teachers," which would indicate pastor and teacher was the same person. I know you aspire to be a great preacher, But you must also realize there is almost as much scripture for you to be a teacher as there is for you to be a preacher. Personally, I don't think you're going to be a great preacher without being a great teacher. When Paul wrote to Timothy and told him the qualifications of a bishop, he said he should be able to teach. Now, why should a pastor be able to teach? Paul said, for the perfecting of the saints. And the word saint would refer to the children of God. God's children are the saints. King James translation uses the word perfect. Usually the translation comes out for equipping the children of God. Now I want you to know that I know a little Greek. He runs a restaurant in Memphis. Now we have the pastor teacher given to the church for the perfecting of the saints. The word perfecting or equipping is an interesting word. You'll find the word appearing many times in the Gospels. It appears in the first chapter of Mark's Gospel, where Jesus comes upon the fishermen, James and John, and the scripture says they were in their boat mending their nets. That is the same word that is translated perfecting in Ephesians. They were preparing the net. They had fished all night. The net had caught some fish. The net had caught itself on stones, on sticks perhaps, and the threads were torn. So the fishermen knew if they were going to catch fish another time, it was necessary to mend the net, to have the net in repair. The same idea is expressed by Paul. The pastor teacher is to keep the saints of God in good repair. The word has a connotation that relates to setting of bones in the human body by a surgeon. If a bone is broken, the physician or surgeon sets the bone. He perfects the bone. Suppose you lived in a Greek city, and one day your wife summons you home, and you come home, and your wife said, "Listen, our son is in the room crying. He fell from the tree and his arm, something has happened to his arm." And then you as a father will go in and look at your son crying, holding up his arm. There is a broken spot there in the bone. You can see the bone projecting itself into the flesh. And so you say to your wife, "We've got to take him to a physician." And off you go with your boy to the physician. And the skillful hands and eyes of the Greek physician will examine the boy's arm. And then the physician will say, "I must perfect his arm. I must get his arm right. I must set it right." This is the idea Paul is saying you must do as a pastor teacher with the saints of God. You must seek to set them right, to perfect them. Where there are problems and difficulties and controversies and shallowness in understanding, you as a pastor teacher must help them. That's your God-called responsibility. Now, Paul said, why are you to do this? For the work of the ministry, or for service. Again, you must take my word for the Greek. In the original manuscript, there is no comma which offsets ministry from the other part of the phrase. It reads, for the equipping of the children of God for service. It is not the minister, teacher, or pastor teacher who is to do the service. It is the pastor teacher who must perfect the children of God, the saints, that the saints might do the work. Now it may be we have the wrong people doing the work in our churches. The pastor may assume too much responsibility. The pastor may think he has to do it all. It really isn't a compliment to a pastor to say Sunday after Sunday, when someone makes a decision, that I did this, I visited this couple, I led this person to Jesus Christ, I talked to this family. And so he parades himself in front of the congregation as though he is doing all the work. And finally, one of the men who thought he was supposed to do the work will concede in his mind, okay, big boy, if you're going to do all the work, then do it and forget me. We may have the wrong people doing the work, and it may be they're doing it in the wrong places. Or we got the people who do the work doing it within the congregation. Notice what Paul said. For the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. And the word ministry means service. Serving. Giving oneself. The church is set in the community under a mandate from God to meet the needs of people. Jesus Christ did not die for buildings. Jesus Christ did not die for programs. Jesus Christ died for people and the service that we must render must be to people. We are introverted. We are sophisticated. We are status conscious. We are too clean. We won't get our hands dirty with the problems of other people. We are afraid to go out and give ourselves. And yet, the minister must perfect his people for service. And the service is to the needs of people. Too long have we pondered and waited in anticipation of going back to some great day of Southern Baptist life. We have become like Lot's wife. We want to go forward looking backwards. Little boy, I heard that for the first time, and he said, my mother was like Lot's wife. The Bible says that Lot's wife turned around and looked back and turned into a pillar of salt. My mother was driving the car and she turned around into a pole. We cannot go forward looking backwards. The great day for service is not in the past, it is now. This is our mission, this day. Let me illustrate. Some time ago, I was early in a congregation for worship. I knew the people that worshiped in that congregation. I'd been there many times, and I was a friend to most of the people. And so while we were waiting for the choir to come and for the pastor to begin the service, the usual chit-chat was going on in the pews, and people were talking back and forth. And I noticed just in front of me, about two pews ahead of me, a lady leaned over and said something to another lady sitting right beside her on the pew. And this lady looked at this friend in astonishment, as though it was unbelievable. And then, having heard what this woman said, she turned to her friend and told her what was said. And her friend was startled. And she turned and told the one beside her. And then she told her husband. And I saw the conversation pass across the pew and then jump the pew like a prairie fire and come across the other pew. It went down one row and over to the other one, and finally it got to my wife, who was sitting beside me. And the lady leaned over and told my wife. And then my wife told me. And this was a chit-chat. My wife said, "You remember Mary Jones that used to sing in the choir? She won't be singing anymore. Guess what?" "I don't know what." "Mary is going to have a baby, and she's not even married." Now think of that. That was going on in the house of God. That was going on among the saints. Now think of Mary. Here was a girl that needed love and forgiveness, understanding, ministry, service. But the church was sitting back saying, "Mary won't be with us anymore. She has isolated herself from us because of her sin. And we can't have those kind of people in our congregation." Do you think Mary is going to come back to that congregation? Do you think Mary could find there the love and the understanding that she so thought existed in people that had committed themselves to Jesus Christ? As long as we confine ourselves to this institutional idea of being ourselves for ourselves, we can never lose ourselves out in this world. I believe that Jesus Christ is concerned about every blind man who picks his way with a white cane, every prostitute, every homosexual, every juvenile delinquent, every convict, every wayward, lonely soul. These are the objectives of Jesus Christ in this world, with love and compassion. And you must perfect your people to give themselves in service. One of our team members, Miss Billie Pate, who is Director of Field Services for Women's Missionary Union, has expressed it this way: "For Christ did not find the prostitute in the temple. He found her at the well, for all persons thirst. He did not find the lame man in the synagogue. He found him at Bethesda's pool, for all men understand pain. He did not find the Samaritan leper at a meeting of the Sanhedrin. He found him with 9 other lepers outside the village wall, for all men seek community. So let us go to the temple and to the synagogue and to the religious business meetings with regularity and with diligence, but let us be found often in compassion and love at the wall, at the village well, and by Bethesda's pool." Shall we pray? Oh God, speak to our hearts. Sometimes they become dry, and their hearts become like a desert. We pray for the springs of living water to turn our hearts into things of beauty and compassion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.